Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be with you this morning. Let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray.
Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we ask for your holy presence here. That you speak to every heart, Lord. From the youngest to the oldest. And Father, speak to us through your word. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, to the Chinese amongst you, happy Chinese New Year. And to the rest of you, I have not seen you this year, so happy 2018 to you. The cathedral's theme for this year is Pursuing the Heart of God. And so today we want to see how we can practically pursue the heart of God. And so our theme is walking with God daily. You know, in the Bible, if I were to ask you which person in the Bible would you single out as someone who's known as walking with God, I think you would say Enoch. Enoch is famous for walking with God. Now, Enoch in the Bible, it says he lived for 365 years. Is that shocking? I think it's shocking by Singapore standards, because in Singapore, if you live to 90, already people say, more good, 99, wow, 100, woo! So it's really good. But who has lived to 365 years? Not in our lifetime, not that we know of. And yet, if you read Genesis 5, you will find that 10 men are listed there, from Adam to Noah. And you find that the one who lived the shortest time on earth was Enoch. 365 is a very short time to live, because the other people, they lived for well over 900 years. Wow, is that possible? Is this science fiction? Actually, it's not. It's very possible. I believe it really happened. And we don't have time now to talk about all the details, but it's in your sermon notes. And you can go home and you can read all the explanations of how people could live into their 900s in those years. But as I said, these sermon notes are for you to go home and read. Not now, please, not now. Just go home and read. For now, let's just focus on the fact that Enoch lived 365 years. I believe also this is real, and yet it has a special meaning. And the special meaning is that it is symbolic of walking with God daily, because, of course, there are 365 days in a year. So in that sense, Enoch, symbolic of someone who walked with God every day. Can we follow his example? Yes, we can, by doing two things. First, to recognize the times that we live in. Recognize the times that we live in. Enoch didn't always walk with God. It was only when he was 65 years old that he began to walk with God. Does the age 65 mean anything to you? Maybe not if you've passed it. Maybe not if you're very young. But I think if you are nearing 65, this would have special meaning for you. So in the case of Enoch, something happened when he was 65 that so changed his life dramatically that he began to get serious with God and to walk with God every day. What was this? Well, the Bible tells us in Genesis 5, 21 to 22, it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah. What changed his life when he was 65? The birth of his son. But why? Why was this so dramatic for him? Was it because 65 is too old to father a son? Well, not at all. Because, as I said, people lived in those days to well over 900. So then 65 is considered very young to father a son. I believe what the impact of the birth of his son was really, the impact was in the name of his son. And his son's name was Methuselah. Now, Methuselah is famous in the Bible as the man who lived the longest time on earth, 969 years. That record set by Methuselah has not been broken by anyone all these generations, all these thousands of years. So he's Methuselah, famous as the man who lived longest in the world. But to me, what is even more significant than his age is the meaning of his name. How do you choose a name for a baby? Would you pray? I'm sure you would pray, and God would speak to you. And I believe that Enoch also prayed, and God gave to him the name Methuselah. But what does Methuselah mean? Actually, it's not easy to translate his name because Hebrew words have multiple meanings. So some people think that his name means man of the dart. Man of the dart, whatever that means. I don't think they had darts in those days, not the way we have, but that's one translation, man of the dart. Other scholars think that Methuselah means when he dies, it shall be sent. Which one is correct? Man of the dart, or when he dies, it shall be sent? I believe the second one is correct, and my reason for saying so is in Luke 3:37, the name Methuselah also appears. The difference is this: Genesis is in Hebrew, Luke is in Greek. And if you take the Greek meaning of the name Methuselah, it is this: when he dies, there shall be an emission. So you see, there's a great similarity between this Greek meaning, when he dies, there shall be an emission, and the second Hebrew meaning, when he dies, it shall be sent. The question is, what shall be sent? I believe the answer is the great flood. You know, in the time of Noah, God sent a flood that lasted 40 days, 40 nights, and this flood actually destroyed the whole world. Noah and his family, the only people who survived that flood. And I believe it was this revelation, when God gave the name to Enoch, your son will be called Methuselah. It was this revelation that shook him up so much. So can you imagine Enoch carrying baby in his arms, looking at his baby and saying, I don't know when my son will die. I only know that when this son of mine dies, God is going to send a calamity. It's going to be so terrible that the whole world will be destroyed. And this was what shook him up at the age of 65, when he began to walk with God. He recognized the days that he was living in, days of unprecedented danger. How about us? Do we know the times that we are living in? You know, we are living in days where North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un, has nuclear ambitions. And he's on a collision course with America's Donald Trump, who has vowed to stop him. And so this may result in war. It may result in a terrible conflict with the death of many people. We are also living in the days of post-September 11. Before September 11, terrorism was confined mainly to the country Israel. But post-9/11, this was when terrorism became exported globally. And so today, even in Singapore, we are very blessed, we are very safe. And yet, we know the danger of terrorism is ever present. 2018 is also the time where Christian leaders in Singapore have declared this to be the year of prayer, leading to a mighty harvest. So knowing the days that we are living in, this should drive us to walk with God. And to walk with God simply means to be in a close relationship with Him, to yearn for His presence. As Amos 3 says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? Walking with God means being in close relationship with Him. Will 2018 be the year we learn to walk with God the way Enoch learned in his 65th year of life? You may ask, Did the flood really come when Methuselah died? And the answer is yes, we know through simple calculations. So let's look at the calculations. Genesis 5:25 says, Methuselah was 187 years old when he became the father of Lamech. And then Genesis 5:28 says Lamech was 182 years old when he fathered Noah. Genesis 7:11, Noah was 600 years old when God sent the flood. If you add up those figures, 187, 182, 600, you get 969. And what's so significant about 969? Well, you know already, Genesis 5:27 says, Methuselah died when he was 969 years old. And so you see, it is true. When he dies, it shall be sent. Where is the word sent? It's missing. When he dies, there shall be an emission. How about the fact that Methuselah lived as the longest man on earth? I believe that is a testimony of God's grace, pure grace, that God was in fact prolonging the life of Methuselah, meaning God was giving people the longest possible time to repent, and yet people still did not repent of sin. How do we walk with God daily? Firstly, we recognize the times we live in. Secondly, we reprioritize our life. When something happens, something very major to shake us up, we will naturally reprioritize our life. This is a photo of my parents. They were members of this congregation back in the days of Victoria Concert Hall. When my parents were alive, yes, I spent time with them. And yet, I had many priorities in those days. My friends, my work, many, many things calling for my attention, calling for my time. And then one day, my mother passed away. But you know, it wasn't even her death that affected me so badly. It was a funeral. There's something very final about the funeral. And so even though my mom was born again, and I knew she had gone to be with Jesus, yet when she was cremated, it was like, everything is over. Everything is finished. I remember the day of her cremation so well. After the cremation, I went home, and I was walking around my home like in a daze. And then after some time, it occurred to me, where's my dad? I haven't seen my dad. And then I searched the whole house, and I couldn't find my dad. And I panicked. I searched again. And then I found my dad. He was outside the house, standing at the gate. And he was just staring out into nothingness. So I went out to the gate. I stood with him. And we looked at each other. And in that moment, I knew, now my dad is my priority. When something major happens in your life, you will naturally reprioritize your life. So in the case of Enoch, it was the birth of Methuselah that shook up his life so much. He reprioritized and he became a man of great faith. As Hebrews 11:5-6 says, Enoch was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Enoch had so much faith that God entrusted him with divine revelations, prophetic revelations about the end times. Well, we know this because Jude 14-15 quotes the prophecies of Enoch. It says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all. That is an amazing prophecy. You know why? In the days that Enoch lived, Jesus hadn't come even the first time. And yet, here was Enoch prophesying about the second coming of Jesus. And you ask, is this prophecy accurate? Well, it is, because in Matthew 16:27, Jesus himself describes the second coming, and it is exactly as what Enoch prophesied. You say, that's Enoch, that's great. How about us? Can we ever become like Enoch? I believe we can. We can walk with God, and we can start small. In the Anglican tradition, there is a rhythm of life. It's called morning prayer and evening prayer. Christians call this quiet time for morning prayer. So our best example for morning prayer is Jesus. Mark 1:35 says that Jesus would wake up very early in the morning while it was still dark. I think the slide got stuck somewhere. Jesus would wake up very early in the morning while it was still dark, and he would go to a desolate place and he would pray. Thank you. All right, so Christians call this quiet time. I've asked many Christians, do you do quiet time? And they all say, yes, of course we do quiet time. I say, good. When do you do quiet time? They say, late at night. Well, it's not for me to judge. But if you really want to do it the Jesus way, quiet time is done very early in the morning while it is still dark. That's morning prayer. And our best example for evening prayer is Adam. There are many English translations of Genesis 3:8. They say that God walked with Adam. No, sorry. It says that God walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. The cool of the day, we really don't know what time that is. But there's a translation. It's called the Complete Jewish Bible. And it translates it this way. They heard the voice of Adonai, God, walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. The evening breeze. So it is possible that as God walked in the Garden of Eden in the evening, at the cool of the day, the evening breeze. You know, in Hebrew, the word for wind, ruach, is the same as the word for spirit, Holy Spirit. So it is possible that as God was walking in the garden in the evening breeze, that Adam walked with him. Adam also walked with God. Now, of course, in this particular case, Genesis 3, we know that Adam and Eve had just sinned by eating the forbidden fruit. So when they heard the sound of God in the garden, they were afraid and they hid. Have you ever walked with God in the evening? That's beautiful. This is a photo of my two dogs, Jeffrey, Yoni. Jeffrey is the tall, handsome, white dog. Yoni is the shorter, darker, still handsome dog. So Jeffrey has gone to heaven now, but in the days when he was alive, I would bring both of them for evening walks. And we would go sometimes by the sea or sometimes in a park. There is something very refreshing about evening walks. It's cool. And as I walk, it's like I can smell the trees. I can smell the sea, and with the wind in my face, it's like I can almost smell the Holy Spirit. So physically, it's like I'm walking my dogs, but in reality, I'm praying all the time. I'm talking to God all the time, walking with God in that sense. And it was during those special times that I have walking with God that the Holy Spirit will speak to me many precious things into my life. How is your prayer life? I don't mean that you literally have to walk to be close to God. You can pray just as well sitting down, even lying down. Do you think it's very disrespectful to pray lying down? Some people do. I don't. I think if you are sick in bed, the best thing you can do is pray lying down. So to pray, we're not talking about the posture. Standing, walking, sitting, lying down, kneeling. We're not talking about posture, but we're talking about reprioritizing your life. Will you reprioritize your life so that God becomes number one? Because there is a reward. And let's look at Enoch's reward. Genesis 5:24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Well, that's very hard to understand. What does it mean, he was not, and God took him? Fortunately, Hebrews 11:5 explains it in a simple way. So Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Enoch's reward for walking with God is that he didn't die. God simply took him to heaven. He never died. You may be asking, Enoch walked with God, he didn't die. And so if I walk with God, I won't die? Actually, it's a yes and a no answer. No, in the sense that you will probably still die a physical death. But yes, you will not die, in the sense that once we put our personal faith in Jesus, we will not die, but we will live forever with him in heaven. Jesus says in John 5:24, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So do you see any connection between Enoch and what Jesus said? The connection is actually the number. Let's look at the numbers. The next slide, please. Genesis 5:24, Enoch didn't die. John 5:24, we won't die. Well, praise God. Is this a call to you personally? Do you feel God speaking to you personally to walk with him daily? In conclusion, I'd like to tell you about something that happened in the days when I was a student. In those days, my teacher needed someone to represent our class in a long-distance run. The teacher didn't know who could run a long-distance run. You know, it's different from sprinting. So the teacher had a brainwave. She said, everyone must run. And when everyone runs, she will time us, and she will take the fastest runner. So we had to take turns in groups to run around the school field, around the tracks, many, many times around the tracks. And looking at me now, you wouldn't believe I can run. But in those days, when I was in school, I was really skinny, and I could run. But even though I could run, I said, I'm not going to run fast because, after all, it's a long race. So I'm not going to tire myself out right at the start. And so I will run slowly. So I was just running slowly around the tracks. But as I was approaching the final lap, my teacher suddenly started to shout at me. And she was shouting, faster, faster, run faster. Because the end was nearly in sight. It was time to pick up the pace. You know, it's been so many years since I left school. I can still hear my teacher. She's still shouting at me. She's still saying, faster, faster, run faster. And I feel that we are on the brink of something big that God is going to do. Something big in our church, in Singapore, in the world. Now is the time for us to actually pick up speed and to run, to run. Will you start by walking with God daily? And as you do, will you also be more focused on the times that we are living in? Times of unprecedented opportunity, also unprecedented danger. Times for us to run faster. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's close our eyes. Hallelujah. Yes. The Lord is speaking to some of us here about something very basic as quiet time. And he's calling to us because he loves us so much. And he's calling to us because he misses the times that you have spent with him in the past, that you no longer spend with him now,
because you are busy. And the Lord is calling you back to this. To simply be faithful in quiet time. To read your Bible. To pray. Early in the morning while it is still dark. The Lord is calling some of us today. The Lord is calling some of us to reprioritize our life. Because the goals that we have set for ourselves, they do not have eternal consequence. They will not bring us joy everlasting. And it's almost as though we are wasting our life. And the Lord is calling to us today, reprioritize. Know what is number one, the most important number one, our relationship with Jesus. Some of us here this morning want to rededicate ourselves to God. We want to be really serious with Him. And Lord, I don't want to play church. I don't want to play at becoming a Christian. But I want to be serious and be very close to You, Lord. Walk with You. And as I walk, Lord, I want to hear You speaking to me. And so I ask us all to stand, please. And as the worship team leads us, I'm going to ask any of you, if the Lord is speaking to you, come forward. Come forward for prayer. There'll be a ministry team here. We'll pray for you. The Lord is speaking to us. So do not lose this opportunity. Just come forward. Thank you.
Describe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect and all His ways